Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on by, grab a beer, and check out the show. We are live and local here on Mondays from 12 to 3 p.m. And it's time to talk all things NFL draft as we are 10 days away, and the Commanders will be on the clock at pick number 29 overall. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, the creator and host of the award-winning Burgundy Zone podcast talking all things Commanders, it's Kyle Roenick with us here on the hotline. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, what's up, Adam? Long time no talk. Glad to be here. It's a perfect time for the NFL draft.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. And I know you've probably been mocking it up just like I have with my friends. I mean, over the weekend, we went to a bar and just pulled out our phones and did about 5 or 10 mock drafts, 3-round mock drafts, 4-round mock drafts. But we'll start with 29 overall for Washington. And I guess, how would you like them to play out the first round? I've been saying I think they want to trade back. I think they're going to try to trade back. I'm not sure if they'll be able to, but they're going to try to. How would you like them to play out the first round?
Yeah, you would love to be able to get them to recoup some more picks. Obviously, with 5 overall, 2 in the top 90, it's not really a recipe for success if you're trying to build this team from the ground up, right? But I trust Adam Peters and company in doing everything they can. And last year, a good example is them moving back in the second round to be able to get Mikey Samers still and to be able to get some more. But in the honestly, with the first couple picks, I really need speed in the trenches, especially on the defensive line. One thing that we're lacking at the moment is that speed rush. The DQ defense from Dallas, they really relied heavily on that Micah Parsons type of role where they were forcing the ball out of the quarterback's hands, allowing the corners to make a play on the ball. Here, we don't really have that speed rush at the moment. We more so have the bigger, thicker guys that are the persistent Ryan Kerrigan type of rushers. So what I really would like for them to do is get a guy like Mike Green. If he were to fall to Washington to 29, he has some off-field issues, but I'm not going to get into the weeds with that. But he's 6'4", 248, led the nation last year with 17 sacks out of Marshall, and he blew up the Senior Bowl, actually left early. The other guy you could say the flip side, if run defense is really what you're trying to get at, AWOD, is Nick Scorton from Texas A&M. He was 6'4", 285 pounds last season. He only had 5 sacks, but the year previous at Purdue, he played at 250, 260, and there he put up 10 sacks. So at Texas A&M, they really asked him to bulk up his weight to be able to stop the run, and that was the priority. But in the pros, what I'm hearing is that he's going to be going back down to 250, 260, and maybe you're going to be able to replicate that pass rush with the end setting in the run game as well. The other name I really would like at an edge setter is Donovan Ezuriku from Boston College. 6'2", 247 pounds, had 16.5 sacks last year for Boston College. I think that's somebody that Dan Quinn and company could really move all over the line. You can't go wrong with those guys, but I know that a lot of the fan base are clamoring for running backs. And there's no, you would have to go with Travion Henderson out of Ohio State. I nicknamed him the Hannibal, Adam, because he absolutely just destroys defenders, either in blocking as a passer or being a lead blocker on run plays for the quarterback, blowing up linebackers, safeties, and even defensive tackles. The guy is a psychopath, and if you're going to really set the tone for going to be able to beat Philly and these other players, other teams, I think that Travion Henderson is a shoe-in fit for you.
So it feels like you're with me, edge rusher, top priority, then you're willing to grab a running back if the right guy is the right fit for Washington. What are two other positions that you think are premium positions for Washington to upgrade in the draft?
I think safety is one, and one name that comes into mind is Andrew Mukuba from Texas. He had 7 interceptions last year for Texas, and the year previous he was at Clemson, and they asked him to play slot corner. He didn't really get all that many opportunities to be able to get turnovers, but at Texas they moved him to strong safety, and he really flourished there, and he plays with his hair on fire. He's not going to be the Nick Imenwori, right, from South Carolina, where he's like 6'4", big dude, reminds you of Cam Chancellor, doesn't play like Cam, but is very, very quick, fast, but has an issue in the back end. Andrew Mukuba is all over the field, plays with his hair on fire, comes up in the run game, is able to get those turnovers in the passing game as well. I think Andrew Mukuba is the Mikey Samron still of this draft. And so I think strong safety is something you could really bolster up and help your team out overall. The other one is obviously wide receiver.
Yeah.
Wide receiver is going to be big because, in my personal opinion, Adam, you have to go into the season assuming each player is going to miss time. And do you have a backup at each position to feel comfortable with? And so with Debo, I think somebody like Jalen Knoll from Iowa State, who's 5'10", 194 pounds, ran a 4.39 40, an 11.2 broad jump, and he put up 23 reps on the bench press at 5'10", 194, which is more than Donovan Ezuriku did. And so I think somebody that can be able to operate in that kind of same sphere as Debo, being that kind of in the backfield lining up on run plays just to mess with the defense, being that motion kind of guy, but he is a vertical threat as well with blazing fast speed, being able to take the top off the defense. And another Jalen that deserves credit here is Jalen Lane from my Virginia Tech, 5'10", 191 pounds, ran a 4.34, a 40-inch vertical. And he also is a punt returner. And I think that is a big need for this football team. Without Jameson Crowder, what are we going to do at punt returner? And if you can get a difference maker, a speedster like Jalen Lane, that could really help out the entire team of being able to flip the field for the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like wide receiver is such an important position for Washington to keep bringing in younger guys that are going to be impactful. We got to replace De'Ami Brown. I don't think you can expect much from like a Michael Gallup. Hopefully Luke McCaffrey can improve. But it does feel like this team is desperate for some special teams help from that position as well, because, you know, dynamic kickoffs are here to stay now. Punt returners, you're looking for a guy that can flip the field. I don't think Jamison Crowder should make this roster again. I love the guy, but I feel like if we're going to compete for a conference championship, we need better than Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, you're right. I think Jamison right now is a free agent. Don't know if they don't go wide receiver in the draft, if they were to call him and bring him in to retain him. And I agree with you about Michael Gallup, because I think that wide receiver two spot, in quotes, could be a combination of Noah Brown, of KJ Osborne, and then Michael Gallup. And then there you're working with Debo and Luke as those two kind of slot guys. Terry is kind of on his own in his own realm, of course. But I think that you, like, going in with that mindset, it's not bad, but you could always add speed to this roster, especially vertically, like you talked about with leaving with De'Ami Brown. You're going to need to be able to take the top off the defense. No disrespect to the other guys, I trust that they'll be able to do that, but you need that threatening speed. And in this draft, there is a couple guys here that could really do some damage for you. But majority in the draft, what you're dealing with is a lot of possession guys, taller wide receivers that can do well for you. But if you really want to take the top off of defense, I think Jalen Lane and Jalen Knoll is really what you want to key in on.
Is it safe to assume, because of the NFL's unwritten rule that players ball out in a contract year, is it safe to assume that we'll get a good version of Debo Samuel this year?
Absolutely. Just pure on the human aspect of wanting to be motivated to prove yourself, your worth, and trying to get as much money as you possibly can. I respect that, and I think that Debo is going to answer that call. Adam Peters' name, not his reputation, but what he believes is being brought into question with Debo, because Marshawn Lattimore already brought a chink in the armor almost for the fan base at this point. Debo being another one. I trust Debo. And it's not only just Debo. If you think back to last year, Adam, with Jaden Daniels, everyone was poo-pooing Dyami Brown. Everyone was poo-pooing what we had there with Noah Brown and everything, saying we need more wide receiver help, of course. But this was also one of the most electric offenses in the NFL last year, just given with what was in the cupboard there. You're adding somebody like Debo Samuel, that chess piece that can move all over. I don't expect him to be used in the run game all that much. I do think that he is going to be that weapon in the middle of the field that defenses have to keep an eye on, just to help Jaden and Terry out just a little bit more so they can be able to navigate and get down the field. I fully trust that Cliff Kingsbury has a wide playbook for Debo Samuel, and he's going to be getting a heavy workload.
What is one thing you're looking for from Jaden Daniels in terms of improvement this season?
I asked this question to a guest a while ago, and it's a good one. But I'll say the continued work ethic and trusting his teammates. Like Luke McCaffrey last year, everyone will go to the stat that he was open quite a lot, was able to create separation against corners, but it just wasn't targeting Luke. And maybe that was sort of a trust thing. But ultimately, it comes down to Jaden Daniels protecting himself. My goal for Jaden Daniels is for him to be able to break Brett Favre's record of consecutive games started. I know that sounds insane, but I need him to stay healthy so he can be able to continue to pursue that and build on that. I love his ability and what he can do, but availability is the best ability, right, Adam? And that's what I really want to do for Jaden Daniels. A lot of respect for Lamar Jackson and how he plays football. Him and Tyreek Hill are perfect at this, where they're able to get down before contact to preserve their health. And that's what I want Jaden to really focus on. And last year wasn't really his fault on that 40-yard run that he got the rib injury on, but it's one of those things where you got 40. As soon as you feel that contact, just get down. And he did a better job at it later on in the season, of course, but just that continued mindset, not to be overly safe or cautious, but just try to get the most you can, but understand that at the end of it, has to be you not getting hit, and that's the biggest priority.
Kyle, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot.
Of course, Adam. Thank you. Have a good one.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So there was some Commanders news over the weekend that Noah Brown is completely ready to go for the Commanders, making his way back from that injury that forced him out of the final few games of the regular season and the postseason. So the wide receiver room for Washington looking better than it did at the end of last season with Terry Dyami Brown, not Noah Brown, Dyami Brown, and Olamide Zaccheaus. Well, now it's Terry, Debo Samuel, and Noah Brown as your starting three. They add Michael Gallup. You're hoping for more contributions from Luke McCaffrey, and maybe even another wide receiver that will get selected in the 2025 NFL Draft, as it's time to talk all things Commanders here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander. Are you ready for some? The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So the future is now with the Washington Commanders and quarterback Jaden Daniels, who became one of the faces of the league and won the league's Rookie of the Year award and was fantastic. Barely made a mistake, it felt like, through 17 games as a rookie in the NFL. And we mentioned it before the break there that a Super Bowl-winning coach has had some kind words for Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels. It was Rams head coach Sean McVay, who told NFL owners at meetings late in March, quote, "The way Jaden Daniels was playing the position, it sure looks sustainable. He has that swagger, that confidence, that enjoyment with competing, the smile, the ability to be totally immersed in the moment. That's one of the things I loved about watching him. I don't see that changing. He's really going to be scary for a long time." So nice things said by Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, on Jaden Daniels, the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders. And the goal for this offseason has been to make sure that Jaden can stay healthy. Because I think the biggest factor that could hold Jaden back from replicating his rookie season was if he missed time due to injury. So how do you prevent that? Well, you get a star left tackle to protect the blind side in Laremy Tunsil. You probably will slide Brandon Coleman over to right guard or right tackle, and the offensive line will be better. And you add Deebo Samuel to get the ball out of his hands quickly. John Keim had an interesting article for ESPN in which he talked to NFL insiders and front office members for the Commanders, and he feels like they want to add a dynamic back, saying, quote, "They could definitely add more playmakers," Keim writes. "Washington would like to find a dynamic running back capable of playing on every down. In the Commanders' past 11 games, including three in the postseason, the running backs averaged 3 yards per carry or less six times. Subpar run blocking didn't help, but they need someone capable of creating more yards on the ground apart from quarterback Jaden Daniels. A speedy receiver on the outside opposite to Terry McLaurin remains an option too." So I ask you, which do you think is more important for Washington, a wide receiver or a running back? Well, my take on Adam Peters' plan for the 2025 NFL draft is as follows. And I've told you guys this before, and it was one of my lead stories on Saturday on 106.7 The Fan and here in Richmond, and that is that I believe Adam Peters wants to select the edge rusher of the future, the pass rusher, to get after the opposing team's quarterback at 61 overall. All right? So the Commanders have five selections they can make in the 2025 NFL draft. Now, they're not the best selections. Number one is number 29 overall in the first round. That's a good problem to have because, as we talked about, that means that your team made it to the conference championship. And I'll take a 29 or a 30 or a 32 overall first round pick every single year because that means you either made it to the conference championship or you won the damn Super Bowl. So round one, number 29 overall. Round two, 61 overall. And I think that's where they find their edge rusher of the future. Then you have this huge gap. No third round pick. And not a fourth round pick until selection 128 overall via the Houston Texans. They got that in return for Laremy Tunsil. Round 6, 205, and round 7, 245. They have five selections to make. Two of them are pretty late, and they need five impactful players. So I think Adam Peters wants to circle 61 as the edge rusher, as the defensive pass rusher of the future. That gives him options at 29 overall. Options to say, hey, we would like to take the best player available. Whether that's Ezeraku out of Boston College, and then they get their edge rusher around early. Or that's Travion Henderson, Omarion Hampton, Matthew Golden, or one of the best wide receivers that are available. Maybe it's a cornerback that slips to them. A tight end. Or an offensive lineman. It gives him options at 29 overall. I think that's the best way for Adam Peters to handle this draft because then at 29 he can choose to either take BPA, best player available. He can choose when they're at like pick 26, 27 if he wants to trade up to get the guy that he's had his eye on or if he wants to trade back. And he talked about this with reporters that they want to make sure that they have three or four guys that they like that are the top of their draft board before they make every selection. And that way, it's not just one guy they like and they feel like they're forced to make a pick. If you like three or four guys, then you feel much more comfortable trading back and acquiring more picks and more talent. And really, I think the plan has to be for Washington, give Adam Peters the most options. The most options. Well, how do you give him the most options? You want him to have the most selections to make. He's got five right now. I would like them to give him six or seven. How do you do that? I think you do that by trading back at 29 or maybe even trading back at 61. I think there's some options there for Washington to get into the third round. And I think that's the best case scenario for Washington is maybe you don't make a first round pick. Maybe you make two second round picks and a third round pick. But you're getting three players in the top 100 rather than three players in the top 128. I think that's probably the goal for Adam Peters and the Commanders, is to get three of the top 100 players that are available. And there will be guys that fall. There will be runs on certain positions. You just never know. I don't think many people expected the name Cooper DeJean to lead to a run at cornerback, and the Eagles making that trade with Washington to trade up to get him. Washington traded back and were able to acquire more picks and got Mikey Sainer still, that they're perfectly happy with. And so last year in the NFL draft, it was just so obvious to make the number two overall pick selection Jaden Daniels. But I'll give them credit for that. That was a swing and a hit. I'll give them credit on Johnny Newton. That's a swing and a hit. That's two. Mikey Sainer still swinging a hit. That's three. Brandon Coleman, that's four. And then I'll give them the combination of McCaffrey and Sennett, who, it's not like they sat the bench all year. McCaffrey was running routes in almost every single game, and according to like Pro Football Network, he was open sometimes, and Jay Daniels didn't find him. He ran some good routes, and Sennett got into the end zone and also made the trick play catch in the fake punt of the playoff game. So those guys were not as impactful as you may have hoped, but there's still plenty of optimism for the future, and they were on the field, right? And so I think that's the goal, is for Adam Peters to find four or five guys that will be impactful players on the 2025-2026 Washington Commanders. They have to be able to make an impact this season, because once again, the future is now for the Washington Commanders. The goal, the expectation for this season should be 10 wins and a playoff berth. And the goal should be for that playoff game to be at home, because you won the division. Because you won the damn thing. And this is a division, the NFC East, that has not had back-to-back division champions for 20-plus seasons. Which would tell me it's trending towards not the Philadelphia Eagles winning the division. Looked like Philadelphia was going to win the division 2 years ago. They slipped, and the Dallas Cowboys stole it late. Last year, it was Philadelphia pretty much wire-to-wire. This year, could there be another new champion of the Beasts of the East, the NFC East? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. Every game can be heard right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. As we look ahead to the final hour and 45 minutes of AWOD Radio here with you on a Monday, we are looking at Hokie Steve, who will join us here live from Capitol Ale House. He wants to talk Baltimore Orioles and Baltimore Ravens, so we'll squeeze that in at 2 o'clock. Andrew Golden to talk Washington Nationals at 2:30. But when we return, it's time to go around the National Football League, change the perspective from the Washington angle for the 2025 NFL Draft to the rest of the NFL, with NFL hits offseason coming up next here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. That's at AWOD Radio and at 910 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Hokies. And on Saturday, you heard the spring game right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And joining us right now from the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat, it is Hokie Steve. What's going on, Steve?
What's up, Adam? How are you?
So that was pretty much a quarterback-less spring game. No Pop Watson. We knew already ahead of time there would not be Kyren Drones.
Right.
So what did you think? Give me your three biggest takeaways from the Hokies' spring football game.
I just told you off air, first of all, if any of those guys who played Saturday take meaningful snaps in 2025, things aren't going well. So obviously Drones is a starter. He had had that minor surgery. Pop Watson, soft tissue injury, whatever that is, kept him out of the game. But I like some of the running backs that they had in the game. The transfer from Central Missouri, the D2 school, Marcellus Hawkins. He ran the ball for about 50 yards, and then Braden Bennett, the running back transfer from Coastal Carolina. He had 75 yards. So pretty good. And I mentioned Terrion Stewart, who I think is going to get a lot of the carries in 2025. He's still at Bowling Green finishing up. So I think the Hokies are pretty good at running back. They really like the wide receiver, converted wide receiver from Tennessee, Cameron Seldon, who transferred over, who caught a touchdown pass Saturday in the game. Aiden Green threw it to him. So
nice.
Aiden Green, the wide receiver, actually had more passing yards than any of the quarterbacks that played.
Aiden Green really was a nice piece this season.
I mean, like I said, they lost four, solid receivers in Jennings, Lane, Gosnell, and Felton. So he's the guy. I mean, he's the next guy up, right? And then it's going to be this Cameron Seldon from Tennessee. And then they got the transfer Donovan Green from Wake Forest, and they like him as well. So, my takeaways are, looks like we got a stable of backs when you add Stewart to the mix. I think the receiving core looks pretty good. And you got two new, you got a new offensive coordinator and Philip Montgomery, a new defensive coordinator, and Sam Skyfson. Other than that, not a lot of information out of Blacksburg over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I talked about this with Bill Roth, the play-by-play voice of Virginia Tech football. They're trying to replace NFL talent on the defensive line.
Right.
APR and Aeneas Peebles. Yep. And I think that might be the most difficult task for them.
No doubt about it. And who they're bringing in, is the defensive lineman from Eastern Michigan, James DeJonkum, who's actually a Springfield, Virginia kid. They like him. But you're right. There's a lot of really good talent that is no longer going to be playing at Tech. They kept it. This is the least amount of information I think I've seen coming out of Blacksburg for a spring practice in a long time.
Yeah, and that seems to be the case around the country.
Yeah, and maybe that's for the reason. There's a big game that they start out with down in Atlanta playing South Carolina and Shane Beamer. We'll see. You know, cautiously optimistic.
Let me ask you this. So last year it was pretty obvious the expectations were 3-1 out of the gate.
Or 4-0. Yeah.
What are your expectations for this year with South Carolina, Vanderbilt,
they can't,
ODU, and Wofford?
They can't start out the season 0-2. You know, I mean, the expectations are they go down to Atlanta, you know, and lose to South Carolina. If that's the case, they come back to Blacksburg the next Saturday and play Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. That is a must-win. You can't start out the season 0-2.
Yeah.
And then you expect to beat Old Dominion at home. You expect to beat Wofford. So, you know, I'm hoping – I'd love to see, you know – crazy me, I'd love to see 4-0, but I'm hoping for 3-1 is the expectation.
Yeah, well, especially with three home games, right? And
yeah.
They just have not been able to come out of the out-of-conference clean in a long time.
I know, and like I said, you know, everybody probably, you know, realistically expects to go down and lose by, you know, double digits to the Gamecocks. But can't sleep on Vanderbilt.
Right.
I mean, look what Vanderbilt, not just what the Vanderbilt did to the Hokies last year, look what they did to Alabama, look what they did to Auburn. I mean, look what they did in the SEC, and their quarterback is back.
Yeah,
so
you got to lose the game to South Carolina with some positive takeaways.
Correct.
You cannot get blown out. I mean, it can't be like when Georgia blew out Clemson at the start of last year where there were just no positives because the offense couldn't do anything, right? I mean, I'm expecting the defense to struggle. But can the offense, which is returning, you know, some pieces, not a tremendous amount of pieces, but at least your quarterback most likely in Drones.
Well, and that's it. I mean, they're returning a guy that has played for 2 years in Blacksburg. So obviously, it's not a brand new quarterback. Whether it was a kid out of high school or a transfer again, but you've got a new offensive coordinator and you've got a whole new scheme. So, did Drones pick up enough in the spring before he got hurt, Philip Montgomery's system, to carry it through the summer and into fall practice?
Was there any talk about new offense coordinator Philip Montgomery, you know, the offense looking different from the spring game?
You know, like I said, I actually was not in Blacksburg Saturday, so I did not see it. I've just talked to some people about it. But, I mean, yeah, there's some new wrinkles about it. But, again, it's a coach pry. You know, buck stops here. I think they're going to try to be as much balanced as they can. I mean, yeah, they want to run the football. They got a new offensive line coach, too, and more from West Virginia. So, yeah, there's a lot of new moving pieces. But I know they want to be able to run the football big time. And obviously, like I said, with Hawkins and Stewart in there, as well as Braden Bennett, I think they've got some guys that can carry the football. Again, will we miss Bashal Tootin? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm just hoping the defense can really surprise some people this year. Last year, there were so many expectations for the line and the secondary with guys like Dorian Strong and Mansoor Delaney. I felt like they never lived up to the hype.
No,
can the defense take a step forward?
Yeah, and they didn't. I think they've had one in Pry's first 3 years, one defensive touchdown or something like that. So they've really got to pick it up. You know, the defense can score too. You know, they've got to pick it up on the defensive side. Not only create more turnovers, giving the offense a shorter field, and some of those games that you're losing down the stretch. If you give the offense 30 yards, 40 yards versus making them go 80, you know, that helps.
Yeah, no, so, but it's going to be interesting because the seat's never been hotter.
It's hot. Yeah, it's hot. And like I said, they cannot start the year out 0-2. They've got to find a way if they don't beat South Carolina or they've got to find a way to beat Vanderbilt, and they've got to find a way to go into October 3-1.
From the outside looking in, it does feel like a lot of the fan base has lost their faith in Coach Brent Pry. Where do you think it's at right now?
That's fair. At the same time, I still expect almost every game to be sold out this year.
Yeah.
When you start seeing games at Lane Stadium with 10 and 15 and 20,000 empty seats, then you know they're totally off the bus. The fan base is still strong. Obviously, Saturday the weather wasn't great here. It certainly wasn't great out in Blacksburg. And this is the first time they've ever charged for a spring game. It's always been a free deal. I think tickets were $10, but the weather wasn't great. I didn't expect a great crowd. In fact, I saw some other spring games on the Big Ten Network and the ACC Network, and it looked like there was, you know, looked like that was popular not to go to the spring game.
Right. I mean, that's where I was going to go next with this, is it feels like around the country, this was the least amount of hype for spring games that I've ever seen.
I'm wondering if the spring game, if this was the last time Tech has a traditional spring game, if it just kind of either goes away or they completely change the situation. And I think a lot of schools are looking to, and some schools obviously have dropped the spring game, and I think a lot of schools are going in that direction.
Yeah, it feels like the new move is to hide everything.
Hide everything. Don't let any of your key players play.
Right.
And, and then we'll see in September.
And that's just not fun for the fans.
It's not fun for the fans. It's definitely not fun for us to talk about.
Because that's the thing is, right, you're going to have zero expectations, so you're going to be excited, you're going to pay for your tickets, and then maybe your team loses by 30.
You better have a roster when you go down to Atlanta on that Sunday, because you're going to be going, who's that? Who's that? Who's that, right? Trust me, you better have your roster ready to go.
And we're used to that in basketball, but there's even more players on the football field every year.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, so we want to transition. Did we cover everything for Virginia Tech football spring game?
Yes, definitely. Definitely did. Just hopping over quick to basketball. Obviously, the news that just broke in the last hour, Toby LaWall has entered the NBA draft, although he has not, to my knowledge, you know, he's set it up so that he can come back and play for the Hokies next year, and he has until May 28th to make that decision.
And he is a 2023 A-10 champion with the VCU Rams. I love the kid. I think he's got NBA talent. I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think that he has the offensive game. And, you know, I wonder if Blacksburg is the right place for him to develop to an NBA talent.
Well, he said if he plays college basketball in 2025-26, it will be for the Hokies.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he said on his Twitter account.
Yeah, we'll see. If I were giving him advice, I would say seek out the SEC.
Actually, the Hokies also picked up a transfer today, the CAA Freshman of the Year, Isaiah Pasha from the University of Delaware.
I saw that too,
Committed to the Hokies today. So that's two. They also picked up Amani Hansberry from WVU last week, who came with Chester Frazier when Chester Frazier came back to Tech.
Yeah, and from people I've talked to, they love Chester Frazier.
He can recruit.
Yeah.
He's a Baltimore native. He's a DMV guy. He knows the area. So he can definitely recruit. I'm welcome. Glad he is back with Coach Mike Young.
All right. So from Hokie Sports with Hokie Steve to Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles, and the upcoming NFL Draft. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Flying Squirrels, who will be back at the Diamond for the second homestand of the season starting tomorrow. Home games Tuesday through Sunday. But from the minors to the majors, time to talk a little baseball with Hokie Steve for Major League Chew on The Fan.
Play ball.
It's time for Major League Chew.
Chew on that for a second.
What's the biggest story in the big leagues?
It is out of here!
Can you handle the heat?
There's no crying in baseball!
This puppy's headed for orbit!
Major League Chew on AWOD Radio.
Big bubbles, no trouble.
So let's start in the American League, and the AL East standings are as follows. Toronto's 9-7, top of the AL East. Yankees 8-7, Boston 8-9, Tampa Bay 7-8, Baltimore in the cellar at 6-9, but only 2.5 games out.
That's the only saving grace. Not only are the O's 6-9, the Nats are 6-9. We'll get to them in a minute, but obviously the O's were hoping to get off to a good start. It hadn't happened. When they've won, they're averaging like, you know, over 6 runs a game, 7 runs a game. But man, when they're losing, last week they were in their 6 losses, they were averaging under 2 runs a game. So they're just not, obviously they're not hitting.
It feels like the biggest issue right now, though, is the pitching.
There's no doubt about it. With Grayson Rodriguez still on the DL, Zach Eflin, who pitched last week, went on the DL, which hopefully is going to be a short stint. But they've still got, you know, Suarez is on the DL. Kyle Bradish is still on the DL. They're hoping to get Rodriguez back soon, as well as Eflin. But and they re-signed Kyle Gibson, who played for him 2 years ago. He was with the Cardinals last year. But yeah, the Orioles right now with the pitching, it's just not there. And especially in the losses, the starters are just not able to even get through 3 or 4 innings.
Yeah, and I also thought they'd have more home runs by now as a team. Rutschman's got 3 to lead the team, but I mean, guys are with 6 or 7 bombs right now around the league.
I was going to say, I think the Orioles only have like 16 home runs as a team or something like that. They hit 6 in the first game in Toronto. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
What does that tell you? So, Gunnar Henderson, who was also on the DL to start the season, he came off pretty quick. He's batting, you know, he's 7-for-35 so far. You know, it really gets back to Corbin Burnes, who they traded for last year. He was their ace. You know, they made a decent offer, but he chose to go to the Diamondbacks. And who did they replace him with? Charlie Morton, who pitched for Atlanta last year. He's 0-3 to start the season with about almost a 9 ERA. And this guy, Sugano from Japan, who's 1-1, he's not bad. But, you know, when you lose a superstar like Corbin Burnes and you replace him with a guy like Charlie Morton, Mike Elias is slowly losing a little faith in Mike Elias as an Oriole GM.
So you've got an opportunity here with 6 straight home games to try to get back to .500. Cleveland comes to Baltimore and then Cincinnati before Beltway Series against Washington,
right,
which is going to be interesting. As you noted, Washington also with the exact same record, 6-9 on the season. So, you know, before we get to the Nationals, I think, what were your expectations for the AL East as a whole for this year?
I mean, I knew the Yankees were going to be good. Obviously, losing Cole was a big loss to them. And obviously, I didn't even mention Anthony Santander,
right,
who's now with the Blue Jays, right? 44 home runs. The Orioles had to replace that in the lineup as well. But I still my expectations as an O's fan, but just in the AL East, I expected the Orioles and the Yankees and Toronto really to be the top 3 teams in the league. And, you know, so far Toronto's up there. Again, we're 15 games in. We got a long way to go, right? But, you know, again, pitching and defense, and you got to be able to, you know, got the 3-run, as Earl Weaver loved to say, the 3-run home run's always great. And the O's got some work to do, and they got to get some guys healthy.
Washington Nationals had won 4 straight, won 2 series in a row against the D-backs and then the Dodgers, but have currently lost 3 of the last 4, lost the series to the Miami Marlins, which is just so frustrating.
Who's even more than a rebuild.
You've got to win every game you have against the Marlins.
How do you take 2 out of 3 from
The Dodgers,
and then you go to South Florida and you play, and even they got off to a good start. Mitchell Parker pitched a great game Friday night,
right,
and the Nats won that game. But then Trevor Williams on Saturday, bad outing for the Nats. Mackenzie Gore, not a great outing yesterday, and you get two out of three, you lose to a team that's probably even more in a rebuild stage than the Nats are.
Yeah.
Right now. And C.J. Abrams is on the – speaking of the injury list, C.J. Abrams goes on the IL, as does Orlando Ribalta.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because I feel like the starting pitching has been very good for the most part, and then the relief pitching comes in, and all of a sudden a 5-4 game turns into 7-4, 8-4,
right,
or 11-4, like we saw.
Well, the bullpen imploded yesterday, giving up 7 runs,
yeah,
after Gore went out of the game.
And this is the second time that's happened for Gore, where,
right,
he's done a decent job. He's,
right,
had a quality start. And then the relief pitching gives up a ton of runs. They will be at the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I was going to say, there is good news.
Yeah.
They got the Pirates. However, tonight they got to face Paul Skeens.
Yep.
So maybe after tonight, you know, and Skeens is 1-1. He's, you know, he's not 3-0 or anything, but he's still a great pitcher. But the Pirates are 5-11. And I think they've only scored, speaking of, you know, hitting, I mean, they've only scored 50 runs in 16 games. So they're obviously struggling to hit the ball. And, but, you know, so the Nats have, The Nats have got a chance to get back in the winning ways, but they're at Pittsburgh.
Yep. We'll hear more about the Washington Nationals from Andrew Golden, who covers the Nats for the Washington Post. But Hokie Steve and I want to transition back into the NFL here. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft. Isn't it weird that for the first time in a long time, Baltimore will select ahead of the Washington Commanders?
I know. Not much, but the Ravens are at 27, and the Skins are, the Commanders are at
29. Yeah. And I'll take that, because 29 means you got to the conference championship.
I was going to say, with the way the Orioles and the Nats have started out, a lot of us can't maybe say, we can't wait till it's football season already, right?
Absolutely. So, for Baltimore, what is the number one position of need?
I'm going to tell you, and it's similar to the Commanders, I'm going to tell you it's a defensive end or an edge rusher.
And it feels like that way for a lot of teams.
Right. Well, because with the Ravens, Kyle Van Noy and Adafi Olway are both going to be free agents after this year. So, and I'm looking at the draft board like you. I heard you mention Jack Sawyer's name.
Yeah.
I think he'll be available in that number. A guy that I would love for the Ravens to get, and he's a Virginia guy, is Mike Green. He started out his career at Virginia, transferred to Marshall. He was a Sun Belt. I think he led the nation last year with 17 sacks. That's a great edge rusher. I don't know if he'll probably go higher than 27, but if he's around in that mid 20s, would love to see that.
That leads us to our next topic, which has been for every team in the NFL. Best case scenario, is it trade up, trade back, or stay put at 27 for the Ravens?
The Ravens have a history sometimes of taking draft picks and trading down. I think with the needs at defensive end, and also there's another guy out there who's somewhat of a local guy. He played at Carolina. Obviously King Henry is going to be a huge part of the Ravens, but again, you need that second back. If something happens, Amari Hampton. A guy that played at North Carolina.
I don't think you can go for that when you have King Henry.
I know, but you know? I'm saying we just need somebody to back up Derrick Henry if God forbid, as a Ravens fan, something happens, and also to give him a series offer, whatever. If Hampton's around, we'll see. There's also a really good defensive end, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year at Boston College.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned T.J. Warren or a top wide receiver, because I do think offense needs help.
I think T.J. Warren will be gone. I think he's going to he's going to be in the top 15.
Yeah,
and I think he's probably going to go maybe the Colts is what I've seen. Local kid, obviously played right up the road here.
So how do you feel about Bateman, Hopkins, and Flowers? Is that a Super Bowl winning wide receiver?
I love Zay Flowers.
I do too.
I love Zay Flowers. I think Rashad Bateman played better last year, took that step up. Now he's got to take another step up. But I love, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with Mark Andrews, but I love Isaiah Likely. Love Isaiah Likely.
But does Hopkins do anything? Would you draft a wide receiver, or are you saying, hey, Hopkins will fill that role?
Eric DaCosta, best player available. So, we'll see. I hope it's on the defensive side. I think it's going to be a defensive pick. But the way the Ravens have done it with Newsom and now with DaCosta, they've always taken the best guy. I'm okay with that receiving core. Certainly, I'd love to see him add to it. But I think they're okay there. I really do.
I don't think so. I'm not a Bateman guy. That's how long has he been with the team now?
This will be his fourth year.
Yeah. Because to me, that was like a De'Ami Brown situation where he finally became the player you want him to be. At this point, I don't think you're going to get that from him every year.
Again, he took a big step up last year, especially in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
We'll see if he takes that next step up.
He closed the season 4 touchdowns in 5 games.
Zay Flowers has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that offense. And Derrick Henry has to stay healthy. And, we'll see. I think the Ravens will go on the defensive side. But, like I said, with Van Noy and Adafi Owe are going to be free agents after next year, they've got to do something. But, to me, with this news with Derek Carr, where does Jackson Dart fit in with this situation? With the Saints, possibly.
I think could be Shador Sanders as well. How are you predicting the NFC North here? I think the Ravens win double-digit games. I'm big on the Bengals. Browns and Steelers, question marks for me right now. With Pittsburgh.
Nothing. What's Aaron Rodgers going to do? And then are the Steelers going to take a quarterback? If the Rodgers situation, even if the Rodgers situation, even if they do sign him, what are the Steelers going to do?
Right.
So I like the Ravens to win the division. 12-6 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're 12-5.
But can they beat the Bills or Chiefs when it matters most?
Right. When it matters most. When it matters most. And are they going to be able to have home field advantage that they, last 2 years ago they had it. They didn't close the deal. The Chiefs came in there and took it from them. Last year they had to go to Buffalo, and play in, 20 degrees or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's I can't wait for the draft. Obviously, what are we talking, a week from Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
10
here.
Days.
It's here.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. So with the Commanders, the edge rusher too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying the same thing as you. Best player available. Because I've been circling 61. We can get in. It's going to be a deep edge class. There's going to be second rounders that have 8 or 9 sacks as a rookie.
Well, Sawyer very likely could be a second round pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. At 27 and 29, best player available. You may end up with, again, if Mike Green drops from the, 15, 18, 20 range, if he's available at 27, I think the Ravens would take him. But, you never know. A lot of things can happen, and still a lot of things can happen between now and next Thursday.
Yep, draft 10 days away. We'll have you covered here with the latest on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Hokie Steve, thanks so much, man.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.